You're listening to The Wicked Horror Show, powered by the Dorkening Podcast Network. For more information, check out thedorkening.com.
This episode of Wicked Horror Show was broadcast live to Facebook. This episode, we're talking about the movie Death Kiss, and we're joined by our guest, director and writer of Death Kiss, Rene Perez, as well as one of the producers, Jeff Miller. I just want to say, if you're a fan of Charles Bronson movies, you should check this movie out. It stars Robert Bronzy, who is a spitting image of Charles Bronson, as well as a little people you may never have heard of, like Daniel Baldwin, hello, and then Richard Tyson, who is one of my favorites. He's from a movie I love called 3 o'clock High. And as always, if you like what you hear, head over to facebook.com/thedorkening every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a live show like this one. We can interact with the guests. Also, check out all the shows on the Dorkening Podcast Network, Secret Underground Hideout, The Dorkening, A Dork Physique, and the Ultimate Video Game Show, which is going to be changing soon. Stay tuned to find out what's up with that. Here's a word from our sponsor, and then enjoy the show.
Deadly Grounds Coffee knows how important your coffee is to you. Every batch is roasted to perfection with a unique special method that brings out the richest, deepest, smoothest flavor you'll ever find. We're coffee freaks too, and deadly serious about our brew. Just one sip and you'll know why we say, once you go deadly, you don't go back. It's truly coffee to die for. So when you're ready to get a little deadly, get online and order yours at getdeadly.com. It's coffee so good, it's scary.
Okay, we are back. And as usual, tonight's episode is brought to you by Deadly Grounds Coffee. Get deadly. Check out the show notes for some information here. But more importantly, check out the show notes for our guests. With us today, we have Kevin.
What's going on, everybody?
Wolfman.
Oh,
yo.
I kind of like how you trailed off at the end there, just saying. But hey, everybody.
Okay, director of Death Kiss, Mr. Rene Perez.
Hello, everyone.
And producer of Death Kiss, Mr. Jeff Miller.
Howdy.
Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us tonight. And Death Kiss comes out on VOD this month, correct?
It came out last Tuesday, actually, yeah.
So that's correct. It is this month. But it was last week.
Yeah. DVD is December 4th.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a birthday gift for me. Thank you.
Oh, will it just be DVD? Or are we possibly getting a Blu-ray?
It looks like we'll have a Blu-ray, too.
Nice.
Okay. Wow. Jeff, that's great news.
Yeah.
That is great news.
Did you not know?
I didn't know. No, I
just found out like this week. I asked Keith, and he said, yeah, we could make Blu-rays, you know.
Nice.
It'll cost X amount. I said, let's do it. So.
Yeah. We should be making 4K Blu-rays, big-time distributors out there. Why not?
Yeah, I know.
But at least Blu-rays are huge. I love it. That's wonderful. Great news.
Billy Baird is asking, Death Wish, is it related to Death Wish series?
Death Kiss, is it related to Death Wish? I did the same thing in the text that I was sending you. Like, Death Kiss, like, as in Death Kiss? He's like, you mean Death Wish? I'm like, yes, I do.
Yeah, that one.
It's not right, no. Jeff. But if you pay attention, you'll see that there's nothing that would stop you from thinking that this was a sequel. That's as far as it goes.
But it is officially not a sequel, not a prequel, not a remake, not a, anything related to the Death Wish franchise. It's more of an homage or a, you know, a film in the same vein, I like to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, a love letter too.
The guy who you got to play the lead, Robert Bronzy, holy crap, does he look like Charles Bronson?
We hadn't noticed.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Now you're making that connection now? Oh,
I just did. I mean,
he's a dead ringer. And we were lucky to find him, and lucky that we got to make this movie with him, honestly.
You guys have done other movies with him as well, right?
Rene had done another one.
Western movie with him, and I'm actually filming another movie with him now, which I think Jeff is, because I just saw a picture of him on Facebook.
Yeah. And yeah, executive producing one now with him in Ohio. Yeah.
So I had done one before Death Kiss, a Western horror movie, and then Death Kiss was the second movie I made with Bronzy. Yeah.
So is that, I mean, is that what drew you to him originally, was because of his appearance and looking so much like Charles Bronson?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's something about a lookalike there that's, you know, you could show up at somebody's birthday party or something and be entertaining. But this guy is more than a lookalike. He's really a dead ringer. And the fact that he was an actor and performer and stuntman already by trade, I think it was a no-brainer. It took a while before I got anyone to allow me to put him in a movie, because I don't think anyone saw worth in it. But I was able to get him into a cowboy movie that I was assigned to already. I just put him in as one of the actors. I didn't make the whole movie revolve around him. Because up until Jeff, no one saw the benefit of that. So I'm lucky that Jeff put two and two together and suggested we make the entire movie about him, which is how Death Kiss came about.
Yeah, and that movie, that the Western, is that the From Hell to the Wild Wild West?
Yeah, From Hell to the Wild West, and it's it's a slasher movie in the Wild West.
Yeah. So. I was actually, before we came live, I went and I was looking. A lot of your titles are available on Amazon Prime right now, if you're a Prime member. Mm-hmm. So I added all the ones that are available to my queue. So I'm going to check out some of your other stuff, because you've done some other horror stuff as well.
Right up my alley. Make horror movies. Yeah,
that's awesome. And there's other actors that it looks like you've worked with in the past that are in this movie as well. One guy. One of my favorite movies of all time he's in. I was like, holy crap, he's in this movie. And that is Richard Tyson.
Yeah, yeah.
He was in 3 o'clock High, which I absolutely adore that movie.
Buddy Revelle. Yeah.
Yep. Yes. So how did you get involved with working for him? Like, so he's been a few of your movies as well.
Yeah, he's been a lot of my movies, and actually he's driving to my house as we speak. From the airport, because I'm filming with him tomorrow. So I'll let him know that we spoke about him on this show. But yeah, I've worked with him before, and, you know, I wrote this scene for the character's name was Revelle, which Jeff didn't like that too much, so he changed it to Terrell.
Yeah.
But no, I just asked Jeff, I said, hey, would it be possible? This guy's an incredibly good actor. He's great at being a bad guy. And, Jeff was able to make it happen, and we have this really ferocious and recognizable to some people. I think Richard's one of these guys that everyone knows his face because they've seen him in something. He's in so many movies. They might just not know his name, unless they're a fan of like 3 o'clock High or one of the really high profile ones that he's done.
Yeah, I love that about this movie, is that it just seems like there were quite a few people that popped up that you either do recognize or you don't. But like Richard Lyons was another one.
We should have put him in this one, Jeff.
Okay. Kev?
I was getting into, so you were saying that it's not really like a sequel or a continuation of Death Wish. You want to maybe give some kind of synopsis as to, without giving too much away, because we want people to go out and buy the movie. Tell people what this movie's about.
Well, it is about a vigilante, you know, who looks like Charles Bronson. And we have a synopsis. It doesn't really tell the actual story of the movie. This is one of those movies that's kind of difficult to... put a synopsis to, because it's more on the side of what people are feeling. It's kind of a movie where there's no way to win regardless. And it's hard to explain, because if we talk about it, we'll give away the plot and we'll give away the twist. There's a couple of twists, and I don't usually make movies that rely on twists, but if you do know the twist before this one, it kind of ruins the surprise. But Jeff, you managed to get a synopsis out of this thing. What did you guys write?
Well, I always do like a little quick log line or two. So this one, I think it's a vigilante with a mysterious past goes to a crime-infested town and becomes a one-man army at the same time protecting a young mother and her child, something like that. That's the elevator.
Yeah. IMDb had a very similar synopsis. You know, I mean, basically just said a vigilante cleans up a town. You know, I mean, I don't even think they mentioned anything else. It was pretty much that. I was like, okay.
Well, you know what we can say that will like clear up a lot of this is
have play the trailer.
Play the trailer. And actually, before we do that, Billy Baird in the chat room says From Hell, the Wild West was pretty good. And here's the trailer for Death Kiss.
An eye for an eye isn't just revenge. It helps prevent future crimes. What if there was a champion for the innocent? Someone to deliver the kiss of death to the scumbags out there.
You're the man who's been sending me this money.
I don't know you, man.
I still don't know your name. You've never told me what you do.
If you know what I do, you'll never want to see me.
Yeah, I had to put the Steadicam in a weird position, and but he and I are both pretty swarthy, dark-skinned people, so I don't think anyone could tell. But yeah, let's not say that one on the air. That one, I want people to know that little secret. Well, that's not his finger.
Speaking,
are we back on the air?
We are back on the air.
Whoops. Anyways, so what I was going to bring up is the cinematography, because. There's a few, like I was bringing up, I was talking about a gunfight in a junkyard. And a lot of really cool shots where like went into the car and out of the car because the way that the cars were set up. And it was done really well. Like it looked like there was a lot of continuous shots where they just went on for a while. So what was that process like? Like how long did that take to get that down?
Oh, that was the 3 days. 3 days of filming for that. And you know, luckily, Bronzy and our other actor, Tex, they're just two unstoppable guys. So you can have them run for long distances. You can have them jump on top of cars like the Dukes of Hazzard. You can have them do whatever. And they just, as long as I can keep up with them on the Steadicam, they'll do it. But yeah, that was 3 days of the same, making sure we had the same weather for it. And again, my focus is just to make it look like a movie that could have been in the early 80s and made sure the synthesizer music was on par with that. And really just trying to make it look like a Canon Films from the 80s. That's when Bronson was really working with Canon Films on everything. So that was the goal of that one. But yeah, going through cars and trying to make... places look interesting and cinematic. That's it's one of my huge goals on everything.
I thought that was very successful. I mean, you said to make it feel like a Canon film or something from the 80s, and even to the point where it's like, okay, his aim is awesome for a while. Then then it's like they're running through this junkyard and they can't hit each other at all. Meanwhile, their aim was awesome like 10 minutes ago, and it's just like, oh my god, yeah, this is totally reminds me of like an 80s movie. That's how is, you know.
The truth is, hitting running targets is pretty impossible. Yeah. If you've ever tried it, you could spend a month doing it, and you might not get one. That's just a lot. And I do try to show the extreme distances of where they're shooting each other from. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was a very long and intense action sequence. And in the end, to kill each other, they had to just get behind, out from all the obstacles, and just shoot each other, just face to face. And then the line producer guy suggested, hey, why don't we put a door in front? And I was like, well, I was on the fence about that. I usually like good ideas from wherever they come from. But I was like, I wonder if that's a little bit too cheesy, like the thing about not running out of bullets, which I don't like. You'll see them reloading.
Yeah, I was watching that, and I was like, I do appreciate that. Like, I was counting shots.
Yeah, I know people them, do. But just,
respect the fact that they're reloading.
But you're right, Yo-Yo. Every six, he does reload. Even if we don't show him doing the entire process, I do show him getting ready to do it. But the gag with the door ended up turning out great, and everyone seems to like it. So it was just a really good idea.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, total 80s awesome. For me. Yeah. I make everything 80s, but this one I went overboard trying to make it the most 80s thing, the good and the bad about all the 80s stuff.
Yeah, I love the hard the guitar music. Like every time Daniel Baldwin was on screen, you heard like this long guitar solo playing in the background. You know, it seemed like Daniel Baldwin. Now, what was it like working with him?
Oh, Jeff, you want to? I'll jump on this one too. But go ahead, you're the one that brought him in.
You know, he was cool. Yeah, you know, we brought him in, and it was weird. There were problems with his flights in San Francisco. But once he called me up. He actually ended up renting a car and driving from San Francisco to our location, Northern California, because he didn't want to be late waiting for the next flight. But he was cool. He was a trooper, and I had a good time working with Daniel. Yeah,
and it was great. And he's such a good actor, huh, Jeff? I mean, he's like he could be in A-list movies, and he can hang with the best of them. He said everything with so much vigor. It sounded great. I was very happy with everything. He's so nice and so talented. Can't ask for anything more, really.
Very accommodating, you know, didn't complain. Very accommodating. And I thought it was a fun experience. I'd work with him again in a minute.
Nice.
How long did you have him for? I mean, because his part's not the biggest part, so it looks like probably like a weekend role or something like that.
Yeah, it was just a day. Yeah, he flew in on, for instance, say a Friday, shot Saturday, flew out Sunday, something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, but his scenes breaking up the movie, you know, explaining what's going on, I thought that added a ton to it.
It's a pivotal character, and I think that he was a great choice. You know, he added, like, I don't know, it was almost like the narrator. It seemed like a narrator, kind of, even though it wasn't. It seemed like a narrator, you know. If it wasn't in there, the movie wouldn't have been what it is. So it's great choice.
And it was really hard to see his role being what it actually ended up being, which was pretty awesome.
Don't give anything away.
That's why I didn't.
All right.
He actually did a movie with Bronson too, so we heard stories about that. Baldwin had done a movie, A Family of Cops 2 or something in the 90s.
One of Bronson's last ones, I think, if not the last. But yeah, he was great. And you know, I know we're not really making Death Wish movies here, but those movies were propaganda movies. They were conservative, right-wing propaganda movies. I've never made a propaganda movie. Usually I just make a schlock, you know, horror movies, slasher movies, zombie movies, stuff like that. So this was my first time to do a propaganda movie. And a lot of the propaganda that they used back then is also what they use now, almost verbatim. So it was a very interesting thing just to have this guy ranting off about all the things that he finds that are irritating and wrong with the world. And just something I've never done, and to have it done by somebody as talented as him was really awesome. Really awesome.
Yeah,
I really do dig Dan Baldwin. I know it gets crapped on a lot, but John Carpenter's Vampires is one of my favorite movies with him in it. So
yeah, good one.
And it's basically because he's in it, really. I just love his character so much, you know. Yeah, this movie is shot, like Kevin was saying, the cinematography is incredible. I told you guys earlier, you know, when you guys were up in the mountains, that there's a scene that reminds me a lot of Breakheart Pass. You know, he's coming down off this mountain, you know, and it just looks like such a 70s, 80s shot. You know, it's a long shot, and you got just enough to make out who it is coming down the mountain. It's like, that's so cool. So,
yeah. Oh, thank you. Really appreciate it. Jeff was there when we were filming that snow stuff, and he got to throw a rock to Richard Tyson's head.
That was me. That's right. That was me doing that.
Congratulations.
Did he meet you at 3 o'clock?
Yeah, but Breakheart Pass, for those of you who don't know, it's a Western movie, and it's in the snow, mainly on a train. But then at the end, they do have this big action scene in the snow. So I don't know if everyone knows what that movie is.
Oh, yeah.
They're not as cultured as Wolfie, but...
Well, Kevin would correct you that. It's not culture, it's age, right, Kev?
Yeah.
Thank you. But yeah,
I do have to ask about overdubs. Is there a reason why like Bronsky's like dialogue was overdubbed the whole movie?
It yes.
seemed like it was, anyways. Okay.
Yes. Well, he has a Hungarian accent in okay. real life, and he is literally has the perfect tone of voice to emulate Bronson. What it is just the accent. And he's so close to having it down to perfect. I think in this next movie, I'm going to let it ride because he's so, the tone of his is perfect. And of course, overdubbing is a pain. But in this one, I didn't want to do anything that would break the illusion for those people who might want to think this is a continuation of Paul Kersey. I didn't want to have a non-American accent ruin that what could otherwise be a, you know, a perfect continuation of that story. So that's the reason why I did it. Everyone told me not to, including Jeff, even put a gun to my head, swore to God he was going to shoot me. But I stayed strong. I said, no, Jeff, I can't do it. And we had to overdub him. But maybe on the next one. I don't know. Are you overdubbing him on that other movie you're doing, Jeff? Are you making him?
No, I think we're keeping his voice because he does play Eastern European in the movie we're doing with him now. So, Gary worked with him a lot over Skype, you know, enunciating and going over lines. And so, he's we're using his real voice. So, nice. I wanted his real voice, and, you know, a couple of the actors did too for Death Kiss. But, you know, Renee had a vision, and I've mentioned it to some people, and they agree with Renee too. So I can't say that I was, you know, completely right on that one. So I do give Renee some credit. It might have been a good call, especially for the American, you know, the American angle.
Yeah, I just, you know, I'm a guy that makes things only for the audience. I consider myself in the industry of service, you know, no different than a waiter or something. And I just want to make everything right for them as much as possible. And I know that anyone who goes out of their way to watch this right away, as opposed to just someone who's looking for something to rent on Saturday when they've rented all the other big budget movies, but the people who are really into this are going to want that unbroken line to pretend that this is just some weird thing that's never been done before, where you can make a sequel to a guy of the same age 40 some years later, you know?
Yeah.
And I wanted to hold that as much as possible for those few, like Jeff said, it's probably a niche audience and who would have an interest in this. But for them, I think it was important that they could continue that in their head. Certainly the way I was taking it.
Yeah. Well, I didn't feel like it. I noticed it obviously, but I didn't think it took away from the movie.
I think it actually added to it. It definitely added, certainly I thought it added to that 80s feel. Overdubbing like bugs the hell out of me, but I actually enjoyed it.
I'm used to dubbing. I love Italian horror films, but I don't speak Italian, so I watch them with the dubs. So no matter how good or how bad it is, I can dig it. I'm all on board for that kind of thing. You know, it's like watching kung fu movies, you know, where the guy's, hello. You
know, it's like, it'd be one thing if, like, because also his dialogue was very, like, minimal. Like,
yeah.
He was a very, you know, he's a man of few words. Yeah, exactly. So I think that also kind of helps. Like, if it was like these big, long dialogue, you know, monologues or whatever,
it may have
been a little bit more where it's just like, all right, like, I want to hear what this guy really sounds like. So actually, in the Western, like, slasher that you did, is that his real voice in that?
No, it's not. Again, yeah.
Dag nabbit. I'm still going to watch it.
So now
I'm still going to watch it, though.
It's the third movie, the one that I'm filming starting tomorrow. Is the one where I'm really wanting to make sure I use his real voice. Unless Jeff finishes his first, because you guys have already been filming for a while, that might be the first one you see where you get to hear him in his real voice. And he's got a great, great voice, great tone in it, as far as matching with Bronson. It's really just the accent, but it looks like Jeff came up with a good idea to make him actually that ethnicity, so it wouldn't throw anyone off.
He's an Eastern European who comes to America, so it makes sense. It explains the accent, and we don't have to hide it. And
yeah,
and again, he has been working on it. He takes class, you know, these computer classes. He was telling me, and he has been working on it. So getting better.
How long has he been acting?
I don't know.
Very long. I think, did he do a short film before your Western? Maybe.
I don't know, but he did do the live stage performances there. Acting, I don't know, but I know that he's been a performer and a stunt actor for many, many years. As far as movies, I'm not sure. I know that his first commercial release movie was that Western. Okay. I'm not sure about before that.
He mentioned a short film to me at one point.
So does IMDb, Rancho, Texas from 2010.
What is it called?
Rancho, Texas from 2010, documentary short. And speaking of Texas.
I don't know where this is going.
I don't know. It's so we have a sponsor.
That was just
Texas. Yeah. How does it have anything to do with Texas?
I don't know. Because the taste is as big as Texas.
Oh my God! Stop it.
That was a reach.
Just play the.
I'm sorry, guys. He has horrible segues into our sponsor. I don't know why they still sponsor us. Anyways.
Okay, Deadly Grounds Coffee.
Coffee.
Exactly. I think it's my skit though. It's just I do really bad.
You're the only one that thinks that.
trying to recreate the Krusty Comics thing, right?
Well, stop it.
Okay, Deadly Grounds Coffee, they are a sponsor of ours. If you like great tasting coffee, definitely check out Deadly Grounds Coffee. We have the link to them in the show notes down below or up above, depending on where you're watching us. I'm drinking pumpkin tonight, as usual, actually. If you love great tasting coffee, pumpkin, chocolate, or if you don't, you can get what Kevin gets, just a normal.
Yeah, I got Hell's Fury. That's what I'm rocking. The last couple days is Hell's Fury, and that stuff, it'll keep you awake.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Definitely. But definitely check out Deadly Grounds Coffee. But don't listen to us. Here's a zombie telling you about Deadly Grounds Coffee.
Everyone thinks because you're a zombie, you don't know good coffee. Well, they're wrong. We have very active lifestyles. It's not all wandering the countryside aimlessly or scaring passing motorists. And we all love a good cup of joe. And there's only one brew that gets my seal of approval. Deadly Grounds Coffee is my guilty pleasure. Bold, robust, delicious. It's coffee that can wake the dead. With over a dozen different roasts and flavors, Deadly Grounds can satisfy the most finicky of coffee addicts. The aroma is so intoxicating. It brings all of my neighbors out of the woodwork. Deadly Grounds Coffee. Coffee to die for and zombie approved. It's good to get a little deadly.
Use the front door! Oh, they're so disgusting.
Okay, we are back. That's Deadly Grounds Coffee. And again, check the show notes down below or up above, depending on where you're watching us. Also down below or up above, you'll find all the links to the movie we're talking about tonight, Death Kiss. And it's out on VOD right now. And I'm assuming it's like Amazon, Vudu, just about everywhere, right?
Yep. Amazon, iTunes, Vudu, Fandango Now, the normal places.
Nice. And then on top of that, sorry, go ahead.
DVD and Blu-ray December 4th.
And is that going to be available like through like Amazon? Is it going to be through Walmart and Best Buy and stuff too? Or
I'm told Walmart is going to carry it. So Walmart and then Amazon, I'm sure. And I'm waiting to hear about anybody else. Yeah.
Okay.
Walmart's getting into the streaming game. They're joining Vudu.
Yeah, isn't Vudu part of part of Walmart?
Yeah, I think Vudu's part of Walmart. Mm-hmm.
It is, yeah.
Oh yeah,
probably.
I think you're right.
Because I think you can take your physical, like you can take a movie to Walmart,
and they can make it
digital for you. You can get on your Vudu.
Oh wow! I forgot that there's a service they offer.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
So or Wolfie, you need to rent a U-Haul, load up all your movies, bring them to Walmart, give them.
No, he doesn't.
You're gonna shake his head like no.
But what I was gonna say before we were so weirdly interrupted about Vudu and whatever is, you know, just a reminder, like, you know, besides, you know, checking out Death Kiss, a lot of Renee's other movies are available on Prime as well. And, you know, I was going through the trailers and a lot of them look very interesting, especially if you're a horror guy. So I'm going to be October's the month to watch this stuff.
There you go, man.
Every month is a month to watch this stuff, but
now you have a reason to do to make up and start doing your 31 days of October.
You need to calm down, right?
No, I don't need to calm down.
Yeah, you do.
I see. Do it.
I'll just watch them. But there's a bunch on here. You have Burning Dead, Playing with Dolls, Bloodlust, A Good Day to Die. But is that called something else as well? A Good Day to Die.
Yeah, A Good Day to Die was called Pray for Death, P-R-E-Y, and for some reason in this country they changed it to A Good Day to Die. I don't know why. Just horrible, bad decision, but I'm not a Hollywood bigwig, so I don't know what goes through their super intelligent brains.
Yeah,
sounds like he was a Star Trek fan.
Dumb idea, whoever's listening to that, worked at that company. You guys,
there's one called Metal Face as well.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, that's just a Playing with Dolls movie. I have three of those. Playing with Dolls Havoc is the newest one, and that's the only one that's not censored. So if you want to watch an extreme horror slasher movie, watch Playing with Dolls Havoc. That one's the only one that's out in the world as I intended it to be seen. The other ones are cut and censored again by other super smart Hollywood bigwigs.
That's the worst. That we know a lot of people that I think they've dealt with that too much, and they're doing their own thing now. Like,
yeah,
they're doing self distribution, and they're still able to get stuff where they need to get it. Like, as far as, you know, I mean, it's tougher. They're going to a smaller audience. It's a very, like, they have their fan base that just buys their stuff. But, you know, it's successful for them. But at the same time, you guys have to live. So if this is working for you, by all means, right?
Yeah. Well, I just don't like censorship of any kind, especially if you're watching a slasher movie, for God's sakes. It's what people expect to see. I don't see anyone renting or buying a movie with a guy like that on the cover and expecting it not to be an extremely scary and bloody experience. So, that didn't happen with Death Kiss, right, Jeff? We have no censorship on that one. All the horrible, violent things I put in there are still in there.
So far, so good. And then it's interesting because it did not pass censor. We got, you know, some money from Germany, but then we're going to get more money if it passes the censorship thing in Germany.
It won't.
And apparently the issue is not with the violence so much as what Daniel Baldwin's character says.
Oh, yes.
That's what they're rewriting, because they're saying it's, you know, his stuff is a little too, I don't know, talking about, you know, criminals and stuff and criminal elements. And that's what apparently they're rewriting some of his dialogue.
Wow.
Wonderful.
They don't want their people to get any ideas, you know, no uprisings.
Exactly. So,
this is Germany, by the way, right?
The U.S., it's not the cut you deliver. That's the cut that's coming out. Yeah. We haven't changed anything.
Yeah, Germany always censors my stuff. I don't know why. In Europe, they're okay with nudity and stuff. And like I used to work for a German distributor just all the time. And he would tell me, you know, Renee, you Americans are so weird. You don't mind shooting people in the face. But when you see boobs, you somehow think that that's perverse. So he always wanted me to have more boobs and less violence in the movies. So if you rent the Playing with Dolls movies in Germany, they're all censored except for the nudity. But they're like all the blood and guts, all the gore, all the jump scares even sometimes are censored out. It's a huge problem. I get a lot of emails in Germany, in German, people unhappy that the movie was censored because there's a website that even goes shot for shot on the Playing with Dolls movies and shows what the American cut has as opposed to the German cut. So people are in the know that it's happening, and I certainly don't want people to think that that's how I made the movies. But if that's what they do, Jeff, what are we going to do? You know,
so
can't fight the Germans.
It's weird because we have. I mean, there's a lot of movies that were. You know, I'm thinking of Braindead/Dead Alive from Peter Jackson, and like when it got released in the U.S., it was extremely censored compared to what he had put out originally
in Australia. Yeah,
yeah, and then they did an unrated version, which was still censored from what he originally put out, and you still can't get his cut in the U.S. You can only get it like other places, and I'm like, I don't know, that's weird because you know you look at other movies like. Even though they're not scary, you look at movies like the Hostel movies and Saw, and like those are pretty brutal as well.
Yeah,
Dead Alive's funny. You know, it's kind of a comedy, but
yeah, comedy horror. Yeah, that's the problem I have with the first two Playing with Dolls. I've kind of disowned those. I didn't even tell people to watch them. Just watch the new one, Havoc. That's the only one that's out there as I intended. It's Halloween. Might as well watch a scary movie.
Well, real quick, how can people watch it? Where is it available?
Amazon.
Havoc is on Vimeo if you wanted to get it in 4K, and on Amazon if you wanted to watch in standard or Blu-ray.
You can rent it. It's not included with Prime right now for Havoc, but which might be a good thing because that's another thing we've heard as well is that Amazon has been kind of kicking off some of the like the ones that are included with Prime. There's ones that they were like agreeing to do, and then they're just not showing them anymore because they don't meet their criteria as far as
censorship. And stuff
yes,
like that.
Yeah. We've had some friends who've had their movies kicked out of there because they're too risque or too gory or whatever. But,
as long as you know what you're getting into, you know, we're not supposed to have censorship in this country at all or censoring freedom of speech at all. So it shouldn't be happening in movies. But, you know, sadly, some vendors want to have extreme horror slasher movies and then.
Totally figure out what it is.
Yeah. But yeah, anyways, you can get Playing with Dolls Havoc. If you're gonna rent it on Amazon, it's $2.99. Or you can buy it for $9.99. But it sounds like you can probably get a higher resolution. Where's the other place?
4K is on Vimeo.
There you go. So you just go to Vimeo.
Yeah. Amazon, they'll actually downgrade you. It's like if you try to watch it on your computer, you can't watch it like HD.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I bought the Justice League on Amazon, and first time I tried to watch it was on my computer, and it downgraded.
Are you sure it was like you bought Justice League?
Yeah, it was more of a like he bought Justice League. He doesn't care about quality.
Yeah, just make it's gonna be 480p.
Hey, my little boy really loved Justice League.
Yeah, Leo's not a little boy. And,
even though he acts like one.
This is the only thing I'm going to say for DC for the evening, but...
No, it's not.
Yeah. It's a good possibility they nabbed James Gunn. Did you see that today?
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see what he's making a sequel to? Probably one of the worst movies out there.
He's saying it's not going to be a sequel. It's going to be a new story.
Oh,
let's wait for the horrible, boring Sunday show for that.
Okay.
Yeah. No doubt.
Now we're talking to these fine gentlemen about their movie, not about James Gunn.
Yeah, but no. I mean, getting back to the whole censorship thing. England. England has was known for years for censoring tons of movies. You know, they had the video nasties. They had the first 39, and then they added more. Then they had another 42 that. And there's some movies that still can't be shown in England that are on that list. You know, I mean, again, they're much like Germany. They, you want to show TNA? Go for it. You want to show someone get a drill put through their forehead? Not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's logical. I mean, one of them is violence. The other one is just a human body. But yeah, you can in Europe, you can go watch a shampoo commercial and the girls, you know, they show her from this high up so you can see her boobs washing her hair. They're just more free about that stuff. But, you know, if you are renting a horror movie or if you're renting Death Kiss and you see a guy there with a 44 Magnum pointing at the he's not pointing on the cover, but he's got it in his hand. You know you're not there to watch anything that's for kids, and adults should be free to watch whatever they want. So I hope the UK doesn't censor Death Kiss. And I hope whatever they rewrite for Germany is not going to be too damaging to our overall story. I don't know if there's anything we could do about that.
They'll probably just take all the words right out of Mein Kampf, you know? So.
I doubt it. They're very embarrassed about all of that,
yeah,
but
it didn't happen. It didn't happen. But yeah, so that's one thing I wanted to bring up too is you know, because we're talking about censorship and you know what other countries censor, the amount of there, you know, even though it's not a consistent like constant thing, there's pretty decent gore in this too. Like yeah. there's some pretty bloody stuff happening from time to time.
There is bloody stuff, and there are situations that are very graphic. Sometimes a situation can be more graphic than a gore effect, you know, a prosthetic gore effect. And what I'm finding is that the people are finding these situations are just very grim. You know, these things that Richard Tyson does in the movie are just so... I don't know, just very macabre and very realistic of things that can happen and very realistic of things that can and have happened. So I think that when you put something in such a harsh setting, it's it really heightens the fact that you're watching violence by putting it in these settings. It's not like watching an episode of a TV show and then people start shooting at each other. These situations, I think, are very, very grim, and that's what makes it feel a lot more violent when the bullets start flying, you know, because you know you're dealing with uncompromising people that could exist in the real world, just the same way that they used to do in the old movies. You know, they used to make these guys, they used to put people in situations that were very horrifying that you would just not want to be in, and that's what I made sure happened in all of these things, from the opening scene with a little girl and the house that she was being held in, all just very realistic situations, but then done with that 80s kind of aesthetic.
Hmm.
And also Guthrie Lowe, who did the sound editor, did a great job with the gun sounds. Cause I remember Renee, I was very specific.
Yeah.
I was like, I want that gun to sound like Dirty Harry, you know? Like,
yeah,
boom.
Yeah, you had us searching clips and searching my Blu-ray collection to find what the exact thing was. But that was a very good idea, actually, because, you know, we just had regular gunshots in there until Jeff had the idea. And that took it to another level of Canon Films kind of, I wouldn't say campiness because that's comedy again, but just to another level of making it like that. So every time Bronson fires his gun, it sounds just like an old 70s. I think we settled on Dirty Harry's, right? Because Dirty Eats would have a better gun all the time.
So you guys have talked around it a little bit, but you both have movies coming out or that you're going to start working on and you are working on, Jeff. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about what those movies are going to be? I mean... Jeff?
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. Right now, we filmed a few days in July, and now we're filming the rest of currently titled Escape from Death Block 13, which is a prison action movie starring Robert Kovacs, Bronzy. as an Eastern European who comes to America and gets into some trouble and finds himself in, kind of wrongly convicted and sent to prison, where he has to kind of uncover illegal operations in the local prison. So it's very, Death Warrant meets Escape from Alcatraz, type movie.
Nice.
A cool script, Gary Jones, who I've done several movies with and helped executive produce Death Kiss. He wrote the script, he's directing it. And we're shooting in Mansfield, Ohio at the prison they used for Shawshank Redemption. So it's a really, and then also Escape Plan 3 recently filmed there. So it's a cool looking prison. So some good production value, and we'll have a couple other names in the movie as well. So it's that's going to be a fun one. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
I've done a few movies since Death Kiss. I ghost directed a movie, and I've done, two or three movies since Death Kiss. I have to do a lot of them because I have to pay my mortgage. But the newest one that I'm very proud of is called The Dragon Unleashed, which is a ninja movie, another Canon Films type thing. Now that I'm on this kick, I don't know when I'll come down from it. And tomorrow I start filming a new Playing with Dolls movie, except for this time the policeman who's coming after the killer will be Bronzy. So. Huh? Yeah, it'll be like a 10 to midnight kind of, but in an extreme slasher movie, less police drama, more slasher movie. So
cool.
That's what I'm up to.
So when does the Dragon movie come out?
I'm not sure. It's just going to the market this November, so it doesn't have a distributor or anything yet. We're just in the negotiation phase with a whole bunch of people. I'm hoping not to have it signed to anyone until we get to go to the market and maybe find a better deal. But I'm really, really proud of that one, just like I am with Death Kiss. And the trailer's online. Everyone could go search The Dragon Unleashed, and you'll see another Canon Films type movie.
Nice. Cool. Definitely check it
and
out.
And I did a couple that came out last month, Toy Box and Ouija House, if anybody likes fun horror movies. And definitely Toy Box feels very 80-ish. It was kind of like Christine. That was the thing that gave me the idea was, John Carpenter's Christine. It's a haunted RV. So if Christine was a haunted RV and you're trapped in the desert, that's kind of what the movie would be.
And that one just came out, right, Jeff?
Yeah, that came out like mid-September. That's got Denise Richards in it and Misha Barton. And then I wrote and produced one called Ouija House with Misha Barton, Tara Reid, Dee Wallace, Chris Mulkey, Tiffany Shepis, Carly Schroeder, like a kind of an all-star cast almost, yeah. I think. And that came out early September as well. So
I agree that it was an all-star cast. We've had a lot of those guys on the show.
Still trying to get Tiffany Shepis, but that's amazing. I love Ouija movies, so that'd be something I'd check. And Toy Box sounds incredible. I love anything that's set in the desert, because it just kind of gives you that sense of desolation, so.
Yeah, I think you'll get it from this movie, yeah. So we got some pretty good reviews and had a big premiere a few weeks ago. So Denise Richards was there, and the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills were there, so it got a lot of press. So that helps these smaller movies. We can get that kind of press attention out there. One thing we kind of live for.
yeah, definitely.
Well, one thing, we're coming up on the 10 o'clock hour. What we're going to do is we're going to reshow the trailer for Death Kiss. Make sure you check out the show notes down below or up above, depending on where you're watching or listening to us, to learn more about this movie out on VOD right now. Also comes out on physical media December 4th, correct?
Or
yes, December 4th.
Okay,
December 4th. Mm-hmm. See, I got it right. And here we go.
Just assumed you were going to get it wrong. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I can get one right every now and then. But here's a trailer.
Just the last time.
What a show!
Last time this year.
Remember, you said we can take a stroll around the neighborhood when you got back. Can I get the mail?
Yeah,
Mom.
An eye for an eye isn't just revenge. It helps prevent future crimes. What if there was a champion for the innocent? Someone to deliver the kiss of death to the scumbags out there.
You're the man who's been sending me this money.
I don't know you, man.
I still don't know your name. You've never told me what you do.
If you know what I do, you'll never want to see me again.
Everyone thinks because you're a zombie, you don't know good coffee. Well, they're wrong. We have very active lifestyles. It's not all wandering the countryside aimlessly or scaring passing motorists. And we all love a good cup of joe. And there's only one brew that gets my seal of approval. Deadly Grounds coffee is my guilty pleasure. Bold, robust, delicious. It's coffee that can wake the dead. With over a dozen different roasts and flavors, Deadly Grounds can satisfy the most finicky of coffee addicts. The aroma is so intoxicating. It brings all of my neighbors out of the woodwork. Deadly Grounds coffee. Coffee to die for, and zombie approved. It's good to get a little deadly.
Use the front door! Oh, they're so disgusting.
And we are back. Welcome back.
Welcome back. Anyways, so yeah, you were just telling us about another movie that you produced. Correct?
Yeah, executive produced, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Called Strange Nature. It's it sounds pretty interesting. I'm definitely going to try to track it down. You just want to give a brief little thing now that we're back?
Yeah, it's called Strange Nature. It's out now on Walmart and Amazon and iTunes, all the usual places. But yeah, it's a woman returns to her hometown and finds the deformities there, like frog mutations. And she's got her little child with her, her son. And so she wants to get involved with it. She was kind of a, she had left the town years ago, said bad things about the town, became kind of a teen star, you know, one hit wonder star. Now she's coming back to kind of make amends. A lot of people hate her, but she's trying to do good in the town, solve this problem of why these animals have mutations. And I call it Erin Brockovich Goes to Frog Town. Just kind of how I would describe it.
I don't know why they just didn't choose that title. Like,
that would have been the title I would have went with.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it sounds interesting. Yeah, I'll definitely track it down. But, yeah, I mean, whenever we have, you know, especially because we're, you know, we're not familiar with all you guys' work, you know, now we just have a library of stuff to go back on.
Yeah.
And then be fans like, I should have asked this guy about this, but, you know, I didn't see the movie yet, so I couldn't.
We got this one on our Amazon right here, Clown Town.
Yeah. Time.
It was on cable not too long ago. I recorded it on the DVR and watched it again. And just I'm sitting there going, this is so cool because I could say that I've actually interviewed, you know, Lauren and, you know, and it was just, it's a good time.
Yeah, Lauren's great. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. So that's on Amazon Prime. And we're talking about doing a sequel to that one. We'd all like to do a sequel. So that's
nice.
The planning stages. Yeah.
Nice. Now, for both you guys, how is Amazon treating you with your productions?
Pretty. I mean, I can't complain that they lowered their prices they pay. You know, I've had some people tell me that they're lowering prices, and so I think that's happening now with a lot of independent filmmakers. But that's still a prime source of revenue for a lot of these independent films. So, you know, can't complain too much.
Yeah, I think some people like they were. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, no, I don't know too much about the business side of things. I wouldn't have a good answer for that. But I know that when you go to Prime, the amount, I think what you were talking about, Jeff, is that they pay the filmmakers less, right? Is that what you meant?
Yes, it's like you're paid per however many minutes you watch of something. You're paid whatever.
And they lowered that price.
60 minutes. And I've heard they lowered that for a lot of the vendors.
Yeah, I see.
A lot of their vendors.
Bummer.
Yeah. That's what we've heard from a lot of the, I mean, people that maybe like they don't have like distribution, like they're doing self distribution, but they're able to get it on Amazon. So it's like, it's almost not even worth it to them.
Yeah. Amazon is like YouTube now. You can put your, you know, your wedding video on there and put it on Prime if you want to. It used to be, you had to go through a regular distribution company, but now, they're making money because, you know, so many people are making movies now because of the technology. So many people are getting their inheritance and making a movie or mortgaging their house and making a movie. And then they find that in the above 90% ratio, you cannot get commercial distribution. And YouTube and Amazon Prime are ways for those, you know, poor, unfortunate filmmakers maybe who are starting out to still get to show their movies. So it is kind of a bummer that they lower the payments on that because those people are already struggling as it is. But yeah, I don't know anything about that because mine go through regular distribution companies and all of my problems are with them, not with Amazon.
Yeah. It's a good problem to have though, I guess, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sounds good to me.
Yeah,
I mean, we all got problems, but I'd rather have to deal with a distribution company than, you know, what I have to deal with. But anyways, I digress. So anyways, we're about 10 o'clock, so we should probably start wrapping things up. You want to do the rundown, Leo?
Yeah, so as I said prior, if you want to check out Death Kiss, it's out on VOD right now, wherever you get your VOD movies, iTunes, Vudu, just about everywhere, Fandango. Check the show notes down below or up above for more information on the movie and our awesome guests here. And with that, we'll kick it off with Jeff. Where do you like people following you?
Instagram at Jeff Miller Film or my Facebook. You can go to facebook.com/Millman Productions. That's my production company. You can send messages there or comment there. Those are like the main things, yeah. Okay. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for joining us. Renee?
I have on Facebook, it's The Darkest Machines. I don't know however you search that. I think you just put in the search thing. And then there's also thedarkestmachines.com. You could email me there.
Cool beans.
I'm on Facebook, too. Obviously, it's Jeff Miller, but there's like a million people with my name. So
the search through just yet. You'll find
just
it.
Add them all eventually.
If you're a horror person, we'll probably have many mutual friends.
Yeah.
Or so.
That's true. Yeah.
Yo.
Find me at Boy Meets Phone on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, wherever you're doing your social media. It should probably be somewhere around there. Also, Yo St. Laurent on most of those same social media channels.
Wolfie.
You can find me on YouTube, The 13th Wolfman, Twitter at The 13th Wolfman, Tumblr, 13th Wolfman, The Prowl, every Sunday on The Dorkening, every Tuesday on Wicked Horror Show, doing Wicked Horror Reviews with Kev. And of course, check out my latest video. I'm doing the 31 Days of Halloween, and I just put up day 9 today. You got to go there to find out what it is, but it's a classic. Kev?
Anuckle on Twitter and Instagram, every Sunday on The Dorkening, Tuesday, Wicked Horror Show. I just put up the most recent Wicked Horror Reviews for American Guinea Pig, Song of Solomon. So go check that out. It's available on our audio format. So go find the Wicked Horror Show and subscribe there so you can check it out. And that's about it, Leo. Oh, we're going to be at Super Mega Fest this weekend.
Correct. So we're going to actually be there live all weekend. And if you're interested in podcasting or you just want to see what it's all about, we're lugging all our equipment and setting up a mobile studio there in one of the booths and allowing people to actually broadcast or record from our booth. So if you want to give podcasting a try, come find us over at Super Mega Fest in Framingham, Massachusetts. And we do this multiple times a week. Just about every Sunday, we do the Dorkening. And every Tuesday at 9 p.m., we do the Wicked Horror Show, which you're watching right now or listening, which we do put this up as a podcast as well. And we're going to be changing the game show, so keep an eye out. We're going to have some big news coming out soon. With that, I want to thank you guys so much for joining us this evening. Make sure you check out Death Kiss, and we'll catch you guys later. Bye.
Good night, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this show. If you did, please make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcast. If you want to be part of a future show, you can find us over on YouTube or Facebook, where we broadcast all our episodes multiple times a week live in front of an online audience where you can interact with us and our guests. Our main show, The Dorkening, is produced live on Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. The Wicked Horror Show comes at you Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And the Ultimate Video Game Show zooms in on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. This has been a Dorkening Network production powered by New Media Promotions. You can learn more about our network by heading on over to www.thedorkening.com.